Hello and welcome to episode 9 of the Pacific Northwest Community Dreams podcast. It's your hosts, Alex
and Sarah. On today's episode, we have not one, but two guests. They are mother-daughter team who have baked their hearts out for the past 8 years, and their hard work has definitely paid off.
Now, with 4 storefront locations and plenty of delicious treats, we are excited to feature Sweet Frosting's Blissful Bake Shop as our next guest, so stay tuned.
Why don't you guys just start with introducing yourselves and your business?
Right, I'm Sally Winfrey, owner of Sweet Frosting's Blissful Bake Shop since the inception.
And I'm Jessica Winfrey. I am her daughter and have been around since the inception.
Yeah, she's actually worked most of it too.
But yeah, she did quit. Since I was 14.
And worked for other people for a while, which was a good thing.
I've been learning, doing other stuff. But I work here full time and have for the past 4 years.
She is a huge part of the
company.
We don't
need my
now.
Backstory.
She's my assistant, so.
Nice. So how did you guys get the business started, and where did the idea come from?
It was actually a friend of mine who I'd known for about 20 years came to me and said, we need to open a cupcake shop. And this was probably around, gosh, the 2008-ish era. She would come to me and, we need to open a cupcake shop. And I'm thinking in my head, how do you live off of a cupcake? You know, one cupcake at a time, to me, thought. No. But I have been in bakery for 40 years. I've been in bakery my whole life.
Okay.
She knew that I had the background in commercial bakery, and she just had a love of cupcakes. And she couldn't find one that she super loved. And so she went home and experimented as much as she could, and she would make, you know, these tasty cupcakes and give them to all her friends, and it started to roll on her. Her friends started ordering from her, and I kept telling her, you're going to get in trouble. I mean, the health department's going to shut you down. You have to have a space, or you have to be cooking, you know, baking somewhere else, and they'll eventually find you. And she goes, well, we need to do this. And it's like, no, but I'll help you. I'll help you any way I can. I had purchased some equipment from a friend of mine who had shut down her bakery, because my husband and I were interested in opening a venue at that time.
Oh, cool.
And I thought, well, we could equip the kitchen.
Yeah.
You know, for caterers.
Yeah.
You know, have a kitchen. And anyway, so I had this in storage, and she asked me to help her one weekend. Are you busy? I have this thing. And I went, no, okay. And we did it was a crazy funky junk show up in Chatteroy at the Grange.
Okay.
Oh, interesting.
Way out in the middle of nowhere.
Yeah.
We were one of the only food vendors, and she baked out of her kitchen the night before. I think I just helped her a tiny bit the first night. She baked 300 cupcakes. And wow. I was still at that part going, who's going to pay $3 a cupcake? And and so we get to the venue, and we set up. She's got everything. I mean, she's thinking ahead. She's got the boxes. She's got the posters made, she's got everything going on, the stickers, everything. And she was, you know, she's really seriously gonna try to do this. And so we did the event that day, sold out before it closed that night, had to go back to her house and bake 300 more cupcakes,
sold out
the next day, and I went, I'm in. Whatever you've got going on here, people are really loving. And it was just as natural as humanly possible, all scratch. Everything she did was good. I mean, it was tasty. Everybody loved it. People want that stuff. They're so used to something that is subpar from, and I hate to say, you know, you go to the
grocery
and they buy the cheapest ingredients they can because they want to make a profit.
Oh, absolutely. Yes.
And I know that because I was a vendor in that community. I was selling them stuff. So I knew what all our competitors were selling.
Yeah.
And so, or what they were buying to make their stuff out of.
You know the
and
quality of
I
what
knew the
they
quality,
were
yeah. I and I knew what they were doing. So it was kind of like a nice in to have, knowing what everybody else was using in town, and we were totally doing it differently. We were doing it the most difficult way humanly possible because we were
of course.
And we still do it that way. We bake small batch, we do everything's flavored. in say a grocery store, you get a choice of like maybe three. You get a chocolate, a vanilla, and a red velvet, because that's what they can ship in frozen. Wow. Is those three. That's what they're producing out there. You might get a carrot, you might get, you know, some other things. But most of it's what they can get in a bag already mixed, yeah, or frozen. Yeah, and so we were like small batching everything. And we still small batch, but they're bigger batches because we've got four locations. So yeah. Now it's not quite as small and it's a little more productive. Now. But
that's exciting though.
It is.
You have two sides of it. One, you're working in the commercial space, and then someone who's the baker, and just it's like two perfect.
Yeah, she came up with all the recipes, but she came out of mortgage and lending. She was just a hobby baker.
Oh, wow.
So she was the great financial whiz when we came in.
Interesting.
How to get started, how not to go under, what we were going to do.
Totally.
And she was very wise. And I bought her out about end of 2016.
Okay.
Yeah.
Nice. That's
she exciting. And she started another business, and she's off and running again. So, yeah, more in her realm.
Yeah. That's awesome. So why did you guys decide to kind of started in Spokane, just because you were already here, or?
Well, yeah, we were living here. We really honestly wanted to open up a shop up north, but she had a lot of friends in a lot of different areas, being that she was in mortgage and lending and the real estate world. She had friends all over the city, and people were buying from the South Hill, and they were all going, oh, I hope you guys come to the South Hill. And it's like, well, we were thinking north side, and they were going, oh. And so we thought, downtown, let's try downtown.
Yeah.
And
if we
can find a good spot. And it wasn't a great spot originally. It was a dark corner. I don't know if you ever saw it previous to Sweet Frostings being there, but it was covered in black tarp paper. Our whole corner was black tarp. The interior of that was like an old wrecked building.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and we redid the whole space.
And they're slowly renovating each level of the Hutton building, and it's really been remastered and renovated. It looks beautiful.
Compared to what it was,
there
were that entryway that goes into the hallway where we came upstairs. It had two more ceilings on it. When STCU took the building over, they removed two ceilings off of that lobby entry.
Wow.
And then found all that molding underneath there and painted it all with the gold paint.
But it was hidden.
It was hidden
under
false ceilings. Well, they run duct work and they run, you know, they make life better for us with the heating and the, you know, air conditioning and the water, and which they didn't have a lot of that back then.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
They just hide the pretty stuff, though.
They did. Yeah, they did. And so they were able to at least get that section opened up.
Nice.
Yeah.
So how did you first start growing within the Spokane community?
Well, my business partner thought big. She wanted to open this space and produce for 10 different locations. One wasn't, you know, going to cut it. We were going to try to do 10. And I kept thinking, Spokane can't handle 10. Can they? Can they handle 10? You know, it's like, especially if you're producing out of the one location and trying to get it out there. So that was the thought. So we tried to do something every year, because our verbiage was, if you're not growing, you're dying. So we
Absolutely.
Just kept going. We just kept going. So in 2013, we opened the second store up at Wandamere. We opened the first one in 2011 downtown here. And then 2014, we expanded the downstairs. 2016, we went to Northtown. Valley. 2017, we did Valley. No, Northtown. Sorry, got those flip-flopped. And we reached a capacity in the kitchen that we either had to go to big machinery that was automated if we went any bigger. And we'd have to probably, in order to do that, move out of the building. So we have to, you know, kind of reevaluate right now and consider what we're doing to move forward.
Nice, doing what's best for your business, and just kind of keeping it the same with the consistency and what you got going on. And
That's exactly.
Beautiful.
Exactly.
So with opening new locations, how do you kind of keep the process and the cupcake the same throughout So no matter where they're going, they're still getting
They're all made right here.
Oh, really? Okay.
Everything's made right downtown.
Okay.
We have a little minivan running everything every different direction in the mornings before everybody opens. And that's why we stagger all the openings.
Yeah, totally.
We open at 7 most days, 8 on Saturday. Whitworth opens at 9, and the kiosks open at 10. So we're able to drop, you know, before they all open up.
Got that
so it's a every morning. It's an every morning thing. The bakers start at 4 a.m. and off and running. And they start reconstituting frostings and piping all the cupcakes and putting the cupcakes in the in their bins, and off they go.
Wow. Yeah, we bake fresh every day.
Every day, yeah.
You can tell by the quality.
Yeah, that's why they're that good. Yeah, and it's a standard. It's a definite standard that we have started with and continued with because, you know, when you shop somewhere, that's the biggest complaint is it's declined or, you know, it's something's, they would, people would rather pay a little more and get what they're used to getting than you have a substandard product.
Absolutely.
Right. So, they want it to taste the same everywhere they go, for sure.
And, and you know, of course, we, because we're trying to use the finest of ingredients possible, we use real butter. We don't use shortening in anything. So your frosting is like grandma made it. It's not like it's made, you know, in a production line somewhere at some company. And so it's that's another reason why we do every day. Because after, you know, they kind of look weary after a day or two. So every day we bake. They get probably a maximum of 48 hours of life. And that's another reason why we don't do commercial. We don't sell wholesale or commercial.
Yeah.
Because we can't control
somebody
keeping it a week, you know?
Yeah, exactly, yeah. Right. So how many cupcakes go out each morning then?
It varies on different days of the week, but I think we're producing about 1,000 to 2,000 a day.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
That is a lot of work.
Yeah.
Especially at 4 a.m.
Right.
That's a process
Wow.
So what would you say some of the advantages and disadvantages of starting a business in like a smaller town or community?
The advantages of opening a business in a small city or a city like Spokane that has this tight-knit community, I would say would be that people are awesome. And the word of mouth just travels. You know, we didn't have any money to advertise. We had no money to do billboards and marketing, and it was all just Facebook and people telling their friends, and that's how we lasted for like the first 5 years before we started like, oh yeah, there's Instagram and all the other social media platforms that we should probably
couple magazines.
But the first 5 years, that's how we got through. It was the word of mouth and people. The disadvantage of being in a small city would that be that people are always on to the newest thing.
Right,
and
they're looking for the next best thing, for sure.
We are an established business. We've been here for about 8 years in Spokane, and after that long, people are like, oh yeah, that's just, that's a franchise, or that's something. A lot of people
assume we're a franchise.
A franchise. And yeah, I have to remind people, like, we're a small business. We are supporting local people. Please help us. We need to support our staff and their families. Yeah. But I would say those are the advantages and disadvantages.
Sure.
Yeah, I'd good say answer. That like says a lot about the quality of what you guys produce and put out, because you know people think you're a franchise just because of how well put together everything is in your business, and
right.
It speaks a lot about what you do and the passion that you put into your work, for sure.
We definitely dreamed big going into it.
Yeah, we did, yeah.
So when coming up with new flavors of cupcakes or even different treats, is it kind of trial and error, or do you have like a group tastings you set up, or?
It's funny, we've kind of handed that over to the bakers. The bakers are constantly thinking of new things, and people are always coming to them like they did in us in the beginning. People would just, I had lists of different cupcake ideas people would come to me with.
I feel we never worry about flavors because we have too many to even pick one every day for the year. It's insane.
Yeah, we try to do a baker's choice that's not on our everyday list every day, so that we have something different every day that pops up. And she usually posts the baker's choice every day on the Instagram. But the bakers are the ones that have been coming up with they call it baker's choice.
And they create and curate the baker's choice every month. as a team. There's usually like a leader, and we do polls on Facebook and Instagram so people can submit their requests, like eggnog and other seasonal flavors that they
want. Apple cider.
Yeah. Gingerbread.
Yeah. Which is so fun.
Yeah, it's a good way to get the community involved in it all, too. And then they have to come try it if they put up the idea.
Yeah.
Well, and they'll mix them up. You know, we do flavored cupcakes and flavored icing. Not very many people will do that because it's a lot. Like I said, small batching constantly.
Yeah. Oh, totally.
And so they'll mix things up. Like they'll do a salted caramel cupcake with a mochaccino frosting and make a caramel latte. You know, they're very creative in that where they can just mix and match and use the things that we currently produce but make something new out of it as well.
Yeah. Our gingerbread cake is a gingerbread cake and a gingerbread buttercream. It's not just a vanilla cake with some ginger frosting on it or anything like that. Yeah.
It's exciting.
Yeah.
New flavors, just always testing and trying. And
yeah, it's a...
It's a
you can't diet here.
Yeah, it's a continual battle, I tell
you. For real.
So are there any like exciting new projects you guys are working on?
We are.
Yes.
Yeah.
We are, you know, we're trying to increase our social media, trying to spend more time on that, do more, you know, interactive stuff with the Spokane community, do more events. You know, we want to, someday we want to be involved in farmers markets and do, you know, really be in the community more. But right now we're working on our Christmas boxes, and we do it every year. We do a different, you know, Christmas offering that's a assorted box of goodies, and this year we're really excited about it. It has macarons and homemade caramels, peanut brittle, sugar cookies.
And we also decided to make a build your own gingerbread house kit this year time. We've always been involved in the Christ Kitchen gingerbread build off, but this year we ended up having somebody come to us and have us build 100 boxes for them. So it was like, I'm sorry, we can't do the build-off. We are building off so many, I can't even tell you.
Yeah, really.
So we're manufacturing about 150 right now downstairs. And
wow.
That's a really cool idea, though, with the gingerbread houses, because that's, like, something that I actually look for in stores. It's, like, they only have a certain few styles, and it's, like,
well,
I would love to,
we'll have to show you ours and see what you think. If you like to do stuff like that, we're also offering a gingerbread building class party.
Oh,
at
cool.
The Whitworth location,
so
you can sign up to do it together if you want to build one together or something like that.
Yeah, it's a great date night thing. You could build one together, or you could each do your own. It's on December 14th, Saturday, December 14th at the Whitworth Sweet Frostings.
What time is that?
2 to 4, yeah.
Yeah, we'll provide all the candies and all the little houses.
And we're going to pre-assemble it as well. So
nice.
You just
all
decorate.
All you have to do is decorate.
That's the hardest part.
Yes.
Right?
Like, over.
Right.
Like, hold this.
Yeah. They'll be pre-assembled.
Been many years of that.
So it's all fun. No stress.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Cool. We should definitely do that.
Yeah.
I like that kind of stuff. So cool. So how all are you involving social media to kind of bring awareness to your business?
Well, social media really is more of a recent thing that we've always posted just because we're taking pictures of products, but it's never been something we've really dedicated time to, and that's, you know, changing. We're going to definitely be dedicating a little bit more time to it, and it's become more of a priority. It's something we try to be authentic in and make it really fun.
What advice would you give someone looking to grow in their local community?
Spokane is so beautiful and it's so tight-knit, you know, just being open to new ideas with people, because that's really, I think I connect a lot with people, mostly because they come to me with something interesting that they want to try and they don't know who to go to and they don't know, you know, we're making gingerbread houses because somebody specifically wanted a gingerbread house. So we worked with them to create exactly what they were thinking. And we're collaborators mostly. You know, we bake custom cakes for people. And
oh my gosh, did you see the Monsters, Inc. downstairs?
No, did you see the Stranger Things monster last week?
I have to show you what some of our decorators do. But more on that. I had a thought. You kind of try to find a need and meet that need.
Yes.
And there's many ways to go about it, of course. You know, financially, there's a lot of different business fundraiser type things that you can do.
Yes.
But you can also start small out of your living room and build yourself up from there. Like my business partner started in her own kitchen.
Yeah.
Until
that's
we and the way that rolled is we started in her kitchen, and me knowing the industry as well as I do, you're gonna get in trouble. We gotta find an industrial kitchen. We went to look for industrial kitchen, and it was more money than us renting this space.
Wow.
And I had the equipment to put into it, so that's why we just went with it.
Yeah. Jumping on the opportunity.
Of course, it's not that inexpensive today. Yeah. It was when we started. Yeah.
Oh, yes. So as you just continue to grow over the years, what are some hardships that you've had to overcome and continue to grow the business?
People and systems.
Yeah,
those are the hardest things. We still struggle with it. It's getting systems in place and people who want to roll with the system. And being in a bakery and being such a fun environment, people come into it thinking like, oh, I'm just
so much
have fun all day.
Well, you're scooping the same every day of your life, you know. It's like, I don't know how fun that can be for some people, but
yeah.
Some people love routine, and
yes.
And I'm kind of that kind of person. I like the, because I know what my job is, and I feel good when I'm done with it. But some people don't. They like to do something different every day. And we kind of have different jobs that meet those needs.
Yeah. We have all sorts of people in different areas. Yeah. And
finding the right person in the right area.
But everybody works hard. You know, it's not all cupcakes and sugar buns.
Yeah.
We're running, you know, we make the recipes that are the hardest recipes. We do things from scratch and we make it.
Mm-hmm. And sometimes it doesn't always work out.
No.
You're tossing it and trying again.
Yeah.
And it's like I made some almond roca and I bloomed my chocolate. I am not a chocolatier, and I know this about myself. It's like, give it to somebody who knows.
Yes.
So we still struggle every day.
Yeah.
It is hard running a business.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And you know, financially, it's tough financially because you're constantly at the mercy of what the government's telling you you're going to need to do. So the first of the year is kind of looming as a little bit of a scary thought for us right now.
Yeah, not just us, every small business.
Yes,
so it's
right.
Really important to support local.
Yeah.
Coming this 2020,
we have around 40 employees, and that's a big. Big ticket,
yeah,
right there.
Big ticket for sure.
Yes.
Yeah.
So last question, and we always like to end on a fun fact. So what was the largest order you've had to fulfill?
Ooh.
We've had a few large orders.
I know one. There's a few, and this was probably not the biggest one, but it was the biggest one at the time. We built the Hemmingson Center.
Yes.
For Gonzaga. Out of cake.
Oh,
and it was,
my gosh.
It fed
before it was
like
built.
2,000 people. I mean, it was.
Oh my gosh.
Oh.
Yeah,
my gosh.
It was the whole building.
Wow.
It wasn't built yet. It was, you know, they were celebrating the.
They
fact
sent
that
us
they
like the schematics.
We got the architectural drawings and designs of the building, which then we had to make into cake. So we
That's
actually built the Hemmingson Center, which is really kind of fun because we drop stuff there every now and then now.
Yeah. Wow.
But other than that, this
it's a good one.
Yeah.
This gingerbread order is a big order.
Is a big
yeah,
it's a big order. It's 100 of these little gingerbread.
Yeah, 100 gingerbread kits, which are
with
intricate little kits.
Oh, yeah.
With unique, they're having the gingerbread men decorated as their people, and
oh,
they're
wow.
also having logos built for their houses to put on their houses.
How neat.
With the company logo. So yeah, so we're doing a few extra, you know, things for that.
Yeah.
We do have a pretty large production staff though. And we can
That's
pretty well divvy it out. And
yeah.
Not one person will break their hand making something in one day.
Yeah. Hopefully there's more than just one making all these cupcakes. Oh yeah.
All right, to close out, we just want to thank you, Sally and Jessica, for sitting down and talking about your business, Sweet Frosting's Blissful Bake Shop. What is the best way for listeners to get a hold of you and your sweet treats?
Oh, wow. SweetFrostingsBakeShop.com.
Yes.
Yeah. Or?
Or call us at 509-242-3845.
Or email info@sweetfrostingsbakeshop.com.
You could Facebook, Instagram message me. Any way you would like, you can get a hold of me.
Awesome.
Cool. Well, that's a wrap. Hope you all enjoyed episode number 9 of the Pacific Northwest Community Dreams podcast. Again, special thanks to Sally and Jessica Winfrey and the whole team at Sweet Frosting's Blissful Bake Shop. You all do some amazing work.
So until next time, listeners, keep pushing towards those dreams and don't forget to support local this holiday season.